What up, what up? Welcome back to the There's More podcast. This is Hannah Nitz. I am the host of this podcast because my favorite topic in all the world, seriously, you say anything we could talk about, my favorite thing to talk about is more in your relationship with God. I think a lot of times in the church, we get so busy once we come to know God. We're serving, we're leading, we're discipling, you know, we're growing, we're involved. And sometimes we lose sight of the fact that there's more for us, not just more for the others that we're leading and telling about God, but in our daily interactive relationship, in our union with our Creator, in our time with Him, there's more for you to delight in, to enjoy, to engage in, to experience, and to know. And that's really what this podcast is about, is the more for you with God. So today, I'm talking about praying for strangers. Are you intrigued? Let's go. You know that feeling when you learn something new or you experience something for the first time? Like, I don't know, you've seen people in the last 2 years get really into making sourdough bread. Have you seen this? If you haven't, just pop open your Instagram and search sourdough. It's like people are learning, oh man, I can make bread by myself and it turns out really good. And it's so good, I need to tell other people about it. So they're posting it in their stories, they're showing their recipes. I don't know how to do this, but it looks impressive. And I appreciate that people are sharing the goodness of this new skill, this new thing that they're like, hey, maybe you should try to make some sourdough bread. And you know what, internet? I've been thinking about it because I've been seeing all your videos. So it works. This podcast episode is kind of like that. It's my spiritual version of sourdough bread. It's something that I have experienced recently or done that I've been like, man, I think more believers need to be doing this. Or you know what? Maybe they are and I have just missed out. But for a lot of my life, I have missed out on this really cool thing. Praying for strangers. Have you guys ever done this? I mean, okay, so I'm 35. This has been going on for maybe the last 2 years that I've started praying for strangers. Maybe a year. I don't know. We're going to call it 1 to 2. And before that, I don't think I ever prayed for someone I didn't know. I mean, if I'm sitting in a small group and someone was like, hey, my aunt got this diagnosis and we prayed together for the aunt who's not there, that's one thing. But I'm talking about being out in public, seeing someone I do not know, and praying for them. How do you feel about this as I'm describing? Does this sound like a good idea? Does this sound crazy? I don't know. I'm just going to kind of bring you into what this has been like for me and talk about a few things that I think God's really shown me and taught me about praying for strangers. And I don't know. This is kind of it feels like a different episode because it's not one verse or one passage that I've been obsessing over and studying, but just this, I don't know, this new thought, this new practice of bringing God's kingdom. I'm not quite sure where it started, but I have been so obsessed with the idea of bringing God's kingdom. And I'm not even ready to do an episode on it because I'm still in my investigatory stage where I'm reading verses on this, sitting with God in it, trying to figure out what does it mean to bring God's kingdom. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing it everywhere. I see it all throughout scripture. I see it in almost every interaction I feel like Jesus has where he's talking about bringing the kingdom of God. All of a sudden, it's jumping out to me all over the place. But this idea of bringing God's kingdom, one of the ways that I feel as though I'm beginning to experience doing that is through praying for strangers. Okay, so that's my hook. That's my lead-in. And one reason that I thought about doing this episode was because I had this experience where I got to pray for strangers in kind of a power-packed weekend. So our kids are 5 to 8 months old, and I'm going to cut you straight. I don't really leave the house. I mean, I do, but it's mainly like grocery shopping, an errand, or church. I'd like to be one of these out and about moms who could just effortlessly take her kids to parks, play dates, the zoo, and library story times. But I'm not. For some reason, with all of these kids and feeding and nap and everything, I just get overwhelmed. And sometimes I just default to staying at home. I don't know. I'm a home mom, okay? But you know what? This weekend, we left. We were out. We were about. This was a few weekends back. And we had these like two big events in one weekend that felt wildly contrasting. Saturday, we were mourning. We were at a funeral for a friend, an incredible person that we were so just devastated at the loss. And Sunday, we were celebrating. My husband works for a company that was celebrating 60 years in business, and they threw this epic party to mark the anniversary. And to be honest, it was strange on Friday, looking at our weekend, realizing this wide range of social gatherings and emotions that we were supposed to hit in one weekend. And I was not super pumped to engage in both of these in the same weekend, I'll be honest, just knowing this is like heavy on one side and celebratory over here. And how do I not just go through the motions, but actually engage with these conversations and people and things, you know, this huge loss on Saturday, this big celebration on Sunday. And I had a very simple prayer of just, God, help me engage these days. Help me engage it. And three concepts that I have been so fixated on with my time with God, like I can't get away from it, that honestly followed me into this weekend unknowingly. These three things. One, I have the mind of Christ. Man, these three points are so impactful and meaningful to me that I'm like, I don't know. I feel like I could have a whole podcast episode just on each one of these, but I don't have time. Okay. So this concept of us having the mind of Christ comes from 1 Corinthians 2, and it's in verse 16. Man, all of 1 Corinthians 2, I really recommend reading it. The second half of this chapter is summarized, like the subtitle, I guess, is called Wisdom from the Spirit. And it's an incredible couple verses that talk about just the wisdom and revelation that God gives us through his Spirit. And it's so powerful. I mean, it's talking about these things that God reveals to us in his Spirit, and that the Spirit searches everything. It searches the depths of God. And then it searches us, the spirit of a person, which is in him. So who can comprehend the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God? And we have this Spirit. It's amazing. Okay. So then verse 12 says, now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. Okay. This is just so fantastic. There are so many times that just since focusing on this verse and studying it and meditating on it, being like, God, I want to believe this. Like, I want to believe that I have your Spirit in me, that you are constantly revealing spiritual things and spiritual truths and understanding to me that don't make sense outside of your Spirit in me. Like, these things are being spiritually discerned by you in me, and I can understand it because of that. So then verse 16, the end of this chapter, for who has understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? Essentially, like, yeah, who can know the mind of God? Like, who can know the mind of the Lord to instruct him? Like, could you even believe that? And then it says, but we have the mind of Christ. Like, we may be saying, yeah, who can even know what God desires? And he's saying, but no, actually, you have the mind of Christ. Okay, so stick with that. Point number one that I've been fixating on is that I have the mind of Christ. Number two also comes from 1 Corinthians. It comes in later in the book, chapter 6. Point number two, I am one spirit with Christ. Word. Okay. One spirit with him. So this is in 1 Corinthians 6, 17. Again, man, you got to read the whole chapter because it just puts so many pieces together. But verse 17, he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Man, I read a quote in a motherhood book I was reading it was like at the end of the chapter, it was just this like one sentence, and it essentially was like, salvation is defined as union with Christ and union with God. And when I read this verse, this is what I think about. Like, I am one spirit with Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I am one spirit with Christ. And then the third concept of, I don't even know what outline I'm making here, but these points that have been shaking around in my head is what I mentioned at the top of this episode of, I bring God's kingdom with me. And man, it has changed in my prayer on days like I'm describing with this weekend, when I'm at a funeral and I'm at a celebration party. To be honest, it's changed it when I walk into a store. Like, I'm literally talking about walking into a craft show last weekend, or I'm talking about going to pick up meat at Duma's Meats. This idea of bringing God's kingdom and of being one spirit with him has really begun, has had me beginning to start praying, God, show me how to bring your kingdom and your presence with me wherever I go. And show me who I can pray for while I'm here. And here's the deal. God loves to answer that. A verse that I love is Luke 12:32. And it tells us that it's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God. Like, it is his pleasure to give and share the kingdom of God. And I can speak from experience in this, that when you say to God, God, how can I bring your kingdom? Show me. I am ready to obey. He is quick to respond. And this isn't any crazy groundbreaking story. This is what I'm saying. It's simple. Like, after the funeral, we were walking on the street and this woman came out like of the door of a restaurant that kind of like was right in front of us. And we were going across the crosswalk together and I started making small talk with her at the restaurant she was eating at. It's new in Akron. And I just asked her what she thought of it. She was telling me about it. And guys, everything in my brain was like, she's a Christian. Ask if you can pray for her. And this is where it gets a little tricky sometimes, talking about people saying, oh, I heard from God. I heard from God. Listen, I'm not going to say the voice of the Lord told me she is a Christian. Pray for her. But I want to come back to these verses. If I have the mind of Christ, if I am one spirit with Christ, if he desires to reveal spiritual realities to me, and if I bring God's kingdom with me, why wouldn't he show me who to pray for and who to bring his kingdom to? Why wouldn't he do that? So I'm standing there and having this small talk with her. And I said, I have a funny thing to say to you. Do you love Jesus? And she said, yes, with everything in me. And I was like, I somehow knew that. And I'd really like to pray for you. And she said, yes, thank you. And we prayed together. And here's the deal. This isn't a special thing. You can do this too. This wasn't because of some crazy spiritual journey I was on. This is literally taking God's word at his word and saying, man, God, if I have your spirit and I am one mind with you and I want to bring your kingdom, show me what to do and I will do it. I think about when Jesus taught how to pray, when he was going through and teaching his disciples how to pray, which we have called the Lord's Prayer. There's a reason why he started. Think about how he started that prayer. First, he just praises God, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. But what is his first request? What is his first ask when he's teaching us to pray? Your kingdom come. And man, as men and women of God, we have this amazing role of getting to bring God's kingdom with us. And here's the secret. This doesn't mean we need to be constantly signing up to serve in the nursery or go on a mission trip. It means even at a funeral in Akron or a party for your husband's company, we have our spiritual eyes open. We don't only open them when we go on a mission trip or we're serving at church. Like, can we walk down the street of our city and someone walks out of a restaurant and we say, God, I want to bring your kingdom everywhere I go. Man, and the coolest thing is then the next day at my husband's party, I got to do a very similar thing where I interacted with someone. It was very clear that they loved the Lord. Theirs was a little more outright because they were talking to me about it. And I just stopped and asked them if I could pray with them. And it's like, I believe so deeply in the beauty and the union of prayer, of like bringing God's spirit and asking his spirit to come and laying hands and saying the words and bringing Christ into this moment. And just on a normal weekend, getting to do it. I was so jazzed up. You should have seen me on Saturday night. I was like, babe, listen to all these people I got to pray for. And like sourdough, making it on Instagram, here's why I get excited about it. Because it's a cool, how do I even say this? I wanted to say the sentence, it's a cool experience, but I'm not trying to downplay it. And I'm not trying to sound like it's going for a ride or like a fun game we're playing. But in all of life, what's the point of all this? Truly, what's the point? I think this all the time. You know I do. I'm always trying to figure out the point of life. And I'm like, God, if the point of my life is to know you and worship you and let others see you and experience you and know you, why am I not praying everywhere I'm going? At a funeral or a party or a grocery store? And here's why. I used to think that the best thing I could give people was my time or my kindness. Man, I could talk about this for a long time. I just felt like the best thing I had to give was my kindness. And if I volunteer, if I show up, that I was doing the work of God. And can that be true? Yes, absolutely. Like the beauty of being the hands and feet in Christ and serving others. Like, yes, yes, yes. This is so important. But have you ever seen that quote? I don't even know who it's by, but I feel like I see it engraved on a bunch of stuff where it says, preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. For some reason, this quote to me became this idea that I lived by in my Christian faith, that if I showed up and if I lived differently, that was the best thing I could give to the world. And, you know, if necessary, use words. But if I'm just shining a light, I don't have to say anything. I can just be kind and be happy Hannah, and people will see God in me. Is that true? Can people still see God in me? Yes, absolutely. It's still good. But friends, I feel like I'm learning that there's something, I don't know. I don't know if I want to use the phrase even greater that I can give them. But instead of just my kindness, it's God's presence. And instead of just my volunteering and my smile, it's God's kingdom. And when I stop and look someone in the eye and tell them, hey, when I walked in the room, God pointed you out to me to pray for you, and he sees you, and he loves you, and he's pursuing you. Can I pray for you? I don't know. Like, I had that interaction this past weekend. Again, I went to a craft fair and I was buying Christmas gifts and cute little crafts. And I had this interaction with this woman who was selling this beautiful stuff, where I'm talking to her and out of nowhere, she kind of just starts sharing about some real pain in her life and things that have been hard. And again, I got that same feeling in my mind and my chest that's like, pray for her, pray for her, pray for her. And let me tell you what, that feels a little embarrassing because there was a Santa Claus dressed up walking around who was like trying to interrupt our conversation. There's people all over. It's like a small area with lots of people. And it feels a little intimidating, a little embarrassing. But from this, I don't know, track record of these past year or two of doing this, I'm like, God, I'm not here to look cool. I'm not here to impress these other people. I'm here to bring your kingdom. And if you want me to pray for this sweet woman, I'm gonna do it. And then I prayed and then I left. I have no idea. I have no idea if she thought I was crazy. I have no idea if that meant anything to her. But if anything in her mind was saying, wow, God sees me, like, check, done. Like, game over. You know what really started a lot of this for me was in 2021. So I guess it's been 2 years. And the thing that began this, I think some of this passion for me about not just wishing people well and smiling, but actually stopping and praying and asking God's kingdom to come in their life and in their situation, was after I had my second child, Opal Pamela, the cutest around. I was home. It was one of Caleb's first days, either back at work or he had like an evening commitment, but it was me with the three kids, feeling a little overwhelmed, doing bedtime by myself without Caleb there. And I had a knock on my door from a stranger. And I opened the door in my postpartum glory. And she was like, hey, I live in the neighborhood. I know you're new here. I heard you moved in and just had a baby and I wanted to bring you a meal. And I was like, wow, this is so kind. So she brings me this meal. You know, I set it on the counter. And she just asked me a few very sweet questions and told me how cute my baby was. And before she stepped out the door, her kids were in the car, so she had to go. She said, hey, can I pray for you? And I was like, yeah. So she put her hand on me and she prayed for me. And this one just hit different. It wasn't just this like sweet little like, God, thank you for Hannah. Be with her baby. Amen. I like felt her bring God's kingdom. Like she prayed over my home and a blessing for my family and God's provision for my kids. And thank you for this baby and a union for Caleb and Hannah's marriage. And may this home just be marked by who you are in your presence. And when she left, I was like, man, I don't even know if I'm going to remember her name, but it literally felt like God himself stepped into my house and brought me food and prayed for me and left. Like, that's how it felt. It was that impactful to me. And I remember that night putting my kids to bed and sitting on the couch and being like, God, how many meals have I taken to friends? Every time someone has a baby, when someone's sick, when someone's going through something hard, I'm dropping off a meal. I'm, you know, helping pick up their kids. I'm doing all this stuff. Is that stuff good? Yes, yes, yes. It's good. Please don't hear me saying that it's not. But the difference in what I experienced there was someone not just meeting my physical need and saying, man, I hope this meal, I hope this kindness reminds them that God loves them. But she stopped and she prayed for a stranger and she said, your kingdom come. It wasn't just relying on her act, but she actually believed that the Spirit of God was more powerful than anything she could do. And she actually believed that stopping and praying for the presence of God and the goodness of him and asking for him himself was more important than the meal. And man, that shook me because I felt seen by my Father and I felt loved by him. And it was like experiencing that short prayer was more powerful than the delicious sausage rice concoction she brought over, which also was very, very good. But that changed it. And that's where a lot of this began, was in 2021, of saying, God, open my spiritual eyes to see these same opportunities. When I'm dropping off a meal for a friend, may it not just be the meal, but I think that bringing you through prayer is even more important than that. And when I'm walking into a store or interacting with someone at a funeral, may it not just be like, oh man, it was so great to see Hannah and, you know, she's got such a loud laugh, but that I am willing and my spiritual ears are open and I believe that I have the mind of Christ and I am one spirit with him and my work is to bring his kingdom, that no matter what uncomfortable thing is whispered to my spirit, if I have to pray for someone I've never met, if I've got to do it in front of strangers, whatever it is, like, sign me up. I will tell you, in those 2 years, it has been really beautiful and really encouraging as God has, I think, prompted me to say, yes, pray for this person, pray for this person. I will be honest, though, there's been a time or two where I have gotten it wrong, and that's okay. If you're getting started on this and you fumble over your words, you stumble in your prayer, it feels awkward. I had a time where I was interacting with a doctor when I was in the hospital, and I was like really sure that God was showing me he was a Christian. And I asked him, and he was like, no, I don't really believe in any of that stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So you just got to be willing to be a little foolish here. But I'm doing it. I'm saying this to God. God, I will look foolish for you. Like, I don't have boundaries when it comes to sharing who you are and your goodness. Like, if I feel anything prompted in me, I will obey. And you know what? I'm saying that pretty absolutely. But I have had times as well where I feel that God has asked me to pray for someone or prompted something when I've been out, and I also haven't done it, and I come home super bummed out. So that happens too. You know, you just got to be gracious. So much like making sourdough bread or any other new skill, hobby, thing that you've been, maybe a new Netflix show you're watching that you've been telling your friends about, this is just my spiritual version of that. Of like, hey, listener, if you love God and have accepted Christ and have experienced union with him, do you know this? Like, do you know you have the mind of Christ and that you are one spirit with him and that you get to bring his kingdom everywhere you go? And that Jesus's first prayer, like when he's teaching us how to pray, is to say, your kingdom come, your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. This is how Jesus teaches us to pray. So we get to do this everywhere we go. I've said, God, open my eyes to see how I can pray for men, women, kids around me and say, your kingdom come. So, I mean, I'm not going to say you have homework because that's kind of a bummer of a word. And I also don't want to make it feel like it's assigned or official. But listen, could you give this a shot? Like, sometime this week, as you're spending time with God, as you're alone with God, just look up these verses that I mentioned and look up the Lord's Prayer. Think about what it means that when God teaches how to pray, he wants us to bring his kingdom. Maybe next time you step into a store, you just begin this bold question of, God, is there anyone here that you want me to pray for? Is there anyone here that you want me to show them how you see them? I don't know. I just would recommend give it a shot. Ask the question. Seek who God is and say, man, God, how can I share this? Hey, thanks for listening to the There's More podcast. I just really want you to taste it. You know that? I just so deeply desire for you to experience the delight and the enjoyment and the wild ride that life is when you experience the more with God.